Mary Oliver has a well-steeped wisdom about her. In her new book, she offers this invitation. There are moments that cry out to be fulfilled, like telling someone you love them, or giving your money away, all of it. Your heart is beating, isn't it? You're not in chains, are you? There is nothing more pathetic than caution when headlong might save a life, even possibly your own. I hear these words dancing around Ruth and the widow with her copper coins. Moments crying out to be fulfilled. These two women acting. We receive two wildly different stories this morning. The widow with her copper coins walking in the shadow of those hypocritical scribes. We know nothing of her past or how this pans out. It's one thin snapshot. And then the book of Ruth. Friends, it even passes the Bechdel-Wallace test. Do you know this test? It can be applied to film. It has a shockingly low bar. It needs to have two women. Both of them need to have names. They need to talk to each other about something other than a man. And earlier in the book, this happens. More than we can say for a lot of movies today. So, first, some time travel. Naomi, despairing a famine in Bethlehem, flees with her family. Imagine an Oregon Trail-esque adventure that brings them to the questionable land of Moab. Naomi raises her sons in this new home, and eventually they marry locals, disregarding rules about interracial marriage. But then life begins to unravel. First, Naomi's husband dies, and then her sons do also. With little holding her in this place, she decides to cut losses and return home. But she urges Ruth, her daughter-in-law, to stay, to go back to her parents, to her home. This is where things begin to heat up. Ruth digs in her heels. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. We sometimes hear this impassioned speech at weddings, but it's a different kind of commitment that Ruth is making. A pledge of companionship, of faithfulness to her mother-in-law, her fellow widow, through whatever desperation may come. Ruth is all in. And back in Israel, Ruth is other. She is foreigner and stranger and Gentile and woman and widow. All markers that generated shame. Shame that held people back and down and apart. This is the kind of shame that works its way into your bones. The way your synapses fire. The way you take in the world around. The kind of shame that keeps you questioning yourself, your worth, coming to believe that maybe it's warranted. But Ruth is all in, with Naomi, with this path, with this God she has come to know. The shame and the fear it cultivates within us, these are a force to be reckoned with. How are we to push through that shame and fear? Dismantling it in ourselves and disarming it in our relationships. This call, it sounds to me like the flip side of Michael Lemaire's invitation to his class, in which he highlights that it's a class that's appropriate for anyone who might eventually die. In contrast, Mary Oliver reminds us that action can be taken by anyone who is still alive. Is it gently cajoling or maybe playful or mischievous? She asks us again. Your heart is beating, isn't it? You're not in chains, are you? Then we can act. The shame, the questioning if we belong, the fear, those demons mime a prison cell. They imitate the slowing of our hearts. But this is fraud. No matter how convincing the feelings of paralysis may be, we are free, we are breathing, our hearts beating. We can be all in if we choose to be. The action hinges not on our ability, but on our choice. And we see this choice in that unnamed widow in Mark's gospel. She had virtually nothing left that society valued. No husband, no treasure, no status. So little that we might conclude that she has no more to offer. No agency to claim or power to act. But we would be wrong. We hear too little of her experience to guess her motivations. We don't know if she dies soon afterwards because she gave away all that she had, or if maybe the community steps up to support her. But we have this snapshot of someone that the powerful would discard, indeed devour, who is offering all she has, indeed her whole life. The snapshot of someone claiming power, of willing agency into being, of acting. Your heart is beating, isn't it? You're not in chains, are you? And indeed, Ruth acts also. She will not be held back by the shame that society would place on her as other, as foreigner, as woman. Ruth claims the agency that these systems of shame would wrest from her. So she goes. She goes out to glean in the fields. And there, Boaz, the landowner, notices her. He lends her a hand and gives her food to eat while she works. He asks the other workers not to harass her, but instead to leave more for her to pick up and take home. Remarkable hospitality. And Naomi guides Ruth to reach for more. Now, the threshing floor was not a safe place for women at night. It was a place of drunkenness and carrying on and all the abuse and mayhem that can come of that. But Naomi saw that even with the risk, it held possibility for Ruth. But to the dismay of you, the listeners, perhaps hoping for a great and juicy story, the lectionary skips from Ruth accepting her mission all the way over to Boaz accepting her as wife and going merrily along. As you might guess, there is some crucial action left out in between. Ruth does as Naomi coaches. She gets all made up and sneaks into Boaz under the cover of night. And then late that night, he wakes up, probably still groggy from all the hard work and from the drinking. Oh my God, who are you? He is understandably stunned to find this mystery woman lying with him. The text says she's uncovered his feet. This is a euphemism. It's funny, right? Now, remember that Naomi had assured Ruth that Boaz would tell her what to do. But not so. Ruth reveals her identity, and then she tells Boaz what to do. Ruth, the Moabite widow, disenfranchised and gleaning, she tells him what to do, this rich and powerful man. Spread your cloak over your servant, she says, for you are next of kin. It's a mix of literal request and metaphorical urging. Ruth is calling Boaz to step up. She's using a play on words. See, earlier on, he prayed that she would find shelter, find refuge under the Lord's cloak, or perhaps a better translation, under God's wings. Here in the night, she's asking for this very thing from him, asking him to offer shelter and protection, his cloak to be God's wings for her. Ruth is telling Boaz to claim his familial responsibility for her and for Naomi. Like the widow in Mark's gospel, she has virtually nothing in terms of power or wealth, but she is free. Her heart is beating. She acts. What follows is remarkable. Boaz steps up. He commits to Ruth. He follows the protocol to really do it right. And then he takes care of them, of Ruth, and by extension, Naomi. They are married, and their son Obed will eventually be the grandfather of King David, part of the family tree that leads to Jesus. But this moment right here, this pivot in the night, this moment where Ruth steps through the ways she has been cast aside, pushing through risk into life headlong, this is the heart of it. Being all in, giving the whole of our lives to the service of love, this is the moment that cries out to be fulfilled. We cannot redo yesterday, and God only knows what tomorrow may bring, but today, right now, is our choice. We may stumble through the nonsensical riskiness of it, or feel buried under the shame and attending fear that would hold us back. But God assures us that this shame is not the truth, that it will not have the last word. God promises that her love is stronger than our fear. And again, Oliver speaks truth. This can be life-saving, she says. When we live all in, when we choose headlong over the sorrow and inadequacy of caution, it might save a life, even possibly our own. This way upends the predatory ways of the powerful, those who would devour widows' houses. It dismantles the system that spreads shame like a crop duster over those who are already marginalized. This choice to live all in, with our hearts, our minds, our time, our treasure, all in the service of love, this is life. Your heart is beating, isn't it? You're not in chains, are you? It is a moment that cries out to be fulfilled.